January 15, 1929 marked the birth of Martin Luther King Jr., the legendary social activist and Baptist minister who played a key role in the American civil rights movement from the 1950s until his assassination in 1968. I talked to Jesse Jackson, founder and president of the Rainbow Push Coalition, about Dr. King's legacy.
You know, the mention of Dr. King is not commonly thought. Dr. King finished high school at 15. He finished college at 19. He finished seminary at 22 and got his PhD at 26. An utterly brilliant man whose courage corresponded with his brilliance. But he also had a worldview. He had a worldview of reconciliation and not retribution. He saw nonviolence as a way of life as well as a tactic. And he believed that people put their bodies on the line and use and choose to learn to live together, not simply die apart. We could become a better people. And so that kind of philosophy was very appealing to me then and now.
The week before he was killed, you noted that polls at that time had indicated that 72% of whites were against him, but 55% of the black community had a negative view of him. How was that possible?
It was painful because many blacks who finally had public accommodation, the right to vote, waiting for the next level, they felt that our fight at the end of one Vietnam was a diversion from our struggle. He was attacked by black leadership, and many pulpits were closed to him. He said, "I cannot bifurcate my sense of justice. I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. My leadership should go for war and poverty at home and healing. We went for the war on Vietnam and killing. We killed 3 million people in Vietnam. 3 million people." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Bombs dropped in Vietnam will explode in our cities because of neglect and riots." He was right. And ultimately, we killed all those people. And now, finally, Vietnam is won again. And just Vietnam is won again, and the walls have come down in Germany. The walls must come down in Korea, and they must come down in the Middle East. We must choose ultimately, no matter how difficult it is, bridges over walls and learn to coexist, not co-annihilate.
The day he passed away, the day he was killed 50 years ago, what do you remember about the details of that day? You were with Dr. Jackson, or excuse me, you were with Dr. King.
Oh, boy. He had come to Memphis, and they held the plane up because he'd been threatened. They thought there was maybe a bomb on the plane. The plane finally came in. The picture of Dr. King and Hosea Williams and Abernathy and I walking on the balcony the day before he was killed.
And that was Jesse Jackson on the legendary Martin Luther King. As King inspires young people to speak out on gun violence, education reform, poverty, discrimination, inclusion, and she has now released her first book. Do you like hearing first book? That means you got to do some more, right?
we'll have to see how this one does, but that's the plan.
That's the plan. The book is called We Dream a World, and it's inspired by her family's legacy and how she wants to see that legacy continue. Yolanda Renee King, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. I've seen you on so many media outlets. You do such a you're just such an impressive young lady, I must say.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So at what age did you start to really understand that you were part of a family legacy that changed history?
Well, I would say from day one, I've always had an interest in these issues and I've always wanted to do something. I think it started around 3, 4 is probably like my first memory of me actually asking questions about this. I think from a young age, I always saw my parents doing the work they did. And also, of course, hearing about my grandparents and their work, I think that helped influence me. But I was never forced to do this. I think seeing it up close really helped me. But I remember when I was little and we would drive around Atlanta, I would always ask, and on the way to school, I would see homeless people. And so I would ask, why are people still homeless? And so from a very young age, I've always had an interest in these issues and finding solutions.
Yeah, you've been very conscious of that. And I've heard you say before that, you know, your folks never really pushed you into this. It's something you wanted to do. But, you know, there's almost a feeling, I think, when I hear you speak, a feeling of responsibility to do so. and you probably have more expectations from the outside world to do it than within your own family. But that must have encouraged you to also get involved and write this new book.
Definitely hearing this and really seeing what's going on in our world really inspired me to want to write this book and seeing the status of our world right now.
You wrote that in 1963, the March on Washington, your grandfather's at the podium. I had a dream. He helped everyone to see the dream. And you wrote, now you have to be the dream. Explain what that means to you.
Well, I think that we've seen the dream. We know of the dream, but now we have to actually put action. Now we have to actually act as though the dream is here and really take that action, really take that giant step.
And while you're grandparents generated momentous strides for equality, the push for civil rights, it does remain a preeminent challenge even today, doesn't it?
It sure does. And sometimes it can get hard and really, sometimes it can be difficult, but you have to keep on going.
You always acknowledge your grandfather and your grandmother together when talking about the family legacy. She wasn't just the wife of Dr. King. She had a lot more impact, didn't she?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think a lot of people forget that or aren't aware of that to start with. And in the 1940s, my grandmother was part of the peace movement in at her college at Antioch. And she was part of the movement and the peace movement that took place on college campuses. And she actually was the one that really brought my grandfather into the movement. When they first met, they talked about the movement because my grandfather had been reading books about that. And so he had been really aware of what was going on. But she was the one that really brought him in.
Yeah, and was his partner throughout. I mean, you know, throughout every step of the way. And you're right, she was the one that got him onto the stage.
And after, you are completely correct, and after he was assassinated, she carried on the dream. She was the one who actually made sure that there is a holiday. We would not, MLK Day would not be in existence had it not been for her. And I genuinely believe that had she had not continued carrying the work and the legacy, I think that the dream would have been gone with my grandfather.
Which you understand then how much the passion that your grandfather has lived very strongly in your grandmother as well.
Right, definitely.
You know, activism is a calling, and it appears to be your calling. What are the three top issues, would you say, in our world today that you want to stay focused on? What are the three most things that you are passionate about?
Well, I think that every issue is important, whether that be humanitarian-related issues or climate change. I think climate change is definitely a really, really important issue. But also we talk about, in my family, the triple evils, which is racism, poverty, and violence, and eradicating those triple evils. And we do that through peace, justice, and equity. And even when my grandfather was alive, he talked about the three evil, the three triple evils, which at the time were racism, poverty, and militarism. And so really eradicating those three evils are his philosophies. But also I think, now, especially, we're seeing the effects of and the impact that climate change has. And so I think that if he and my grandmother were alive, they would be talking about climate change just as much as they would be talking about eradicating the triple evils.
And you've been doing this on stage, and you've been doing this on stage for years already, and you're only 15. You've made countless speeches with thousands and thousands of people in the audience. That first speech, was it overwhelming? I heard you talk about like sneaking a peek through the curtain to see who was out there. I mean, for a young woman getting on stage in front of all those people, how did you get through it?
I mean, I was absolutely horrified, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, but I was horrified of going out there and doing that. And so I think that really was something that really, I guess, pushed and really would put anyone outside their comfort zone, but it was so worth it.
And you really found a level of confidence for yourself. I think the more you do it, and I'm sure your parents have told you this too, the more you do it, the easier, obviously, this is going to get. And you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, for a little bit, I would say. Some people would still say that I'm very new, and of course, there's still a long way to go in my journey. But yes, like, and also seeing that the crowd wasn't for, like, they weren't gonna boo me. They weren't against me. They were with me, and so seeing that people were with you and not coming after you and against you, I think that that's something that's also really helpful. Having a whole
support
800,000 people. It was like 800,000 people. So that was like a safety net of 800,000 people. It was a safe space.
It was a safe space. And you know, the book, and really what your book is all about, you know, anyone can talk the talk, but it's really critical. And that's really the message at the end of the day, is you have to walk the walk and make that difference. What do you want people to know about you? Because in life, at 15 years old, you play so many roles in your own life. I mean, you're a daughter, you're a friend, you're an advocate. Like, where do you see yourself? What do you want people to know about you?
Well, I want people to know that I will still, whatever way that manifests, will I intend to continue doing this work, and that anyone can do it. I think that a lot of people really forget how that anyone can do this work. And that it doesn't have to be something major. It can be making it, just make a contribution to the community. And that's what I want people to know. And that you can do what I'm doing too. Like, if I can do it, then you can do it.
I love that. I love that. Well, you are an amazing young woman, Yolanda, and it's a beautiful book. We Dream a World. It was a pleasure spending some time with you, and keep doing the wonderful job you're doing, keeping your family legacy both alive and with such great intention.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Yolanda Renee King, the only grandchild of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Coretta Scott King on her book, We Dream a World.